Hi, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Stelina. Together, we are moms to 5 children, including 2 sets of twins.
At Tweet Dreams, we are passionate about helping families achieve the peaceful night's rest they deserve because we were formerly overwhelmed and sleep deprived ourselves.
We love nothing more than helping families achieve their specific sleep goals
so the whole family can be rested and thriving.
On this podcast, you'll not just hear about sleep-related topics. We'll chat about how it started,
where we are today,
and the experiences that have shaped us as mothers of twins.
We hope you'll enjoy listening to the ups and downs,
the highs and lows, and everything in between.
Hi guys, we're back with another episode on Twin Life with Tweet Dreams. So happy to be here as sleep consultants and twin moms. We love to talk about sleep topics, like sleep specific topics at baby, toddler, you know, how that changes and evolves with twins. So I feel like this topic today, short naps, super, super important, very, very common, especially with twins, because we have another baby in the mix and we might be following the cues of a higher sleep needs baby. And then we have like a lower sleep needs baby. So we're kind of stuck in a cycle of short naps because of that. Also, I think I've talked about this before that like twin sleep is like doing like math equations all day long. It's like the wake windows, who woke up when does the wake window start, et cetera. So we are going to run through our very favorite blog topic, which is 5 reasons why babies take short naps. So when we say that, we're really talking about like 0 to 12 months. You know, once we get into 12 months, we're really looking at that like 2-to-1 nap transition. And we would love to cover that topic because it's a good one on a different episode. Okay, Stelina, let's chat about this because this is going to help a lot of mamas out there. When I think about short naps, the number one reason or the number one listed reason here is why babies take cat naps is because the naps are not timed correctly. So what we mean by that is you're following age appropriate wake windows. Like let's say you're using the Huckleberry app. I hear this all the time. Well, the Huckleberry app is all it's doing is calculating a wake window based on age, but it's not factoring in the number of naps your child is taking. And honestly, like being really intuitive on how that changes as the baby gets older. So if a 9-month-old takes a 30-minute nap, it's just going to calculate the wake window and just keep offering more naps, where we know that a 9-month-old shouldn't be taking 3 naps, for example. They definitely need to be taking just 2. So what I want to chat about really quickly is that the number of naps your child is taking is important. Following age-appropriate wake windows, really from like ages, 0 months to 6.5-ish. We're really looking at those wake windows. We have to combat that overtiredness that could happen. But we also, in the back of our minds, as our babies get older, we want to think about the time on the clock. So if a baby's taking a nap that's happening too early in the day, then we're just like stacking it too close together. We're offering too many naps. So even though we're using wake windows, guys, I want you to think about the actual time on the clock, meaning like if you're 7 a.m. desired wake time, we should have a nap starting closer to 9 a.m. That's 2 hours. Then we have to think about that lunchtime nap. Let's get it closer to like 12:30 or 1. I'm talking about like a 3-nap schedule. And then how do we elongate that cat nap like more so into like 4:30-ish? So all of that really does make sense in that if we're stacking the naps too close together, like 8:30, 11, 3:30, your child doesn't have enough sleep pressure. And what we know about babies is their sleep cues are like unreliable at best. They may show us that they're tired, they're rubbing their eyes, they're cranky, they're bored, but then you put them down, boom, 30 minutes. That's all we get because there just wasn't enough pressure inside the day, so to speak. Like look at the pressure, but also where are you at in the day? Like if we're taking 2 naps before noon, it's only noon, right? They've only been awake 6 hours. How can we spread that out? So in this blog, I'm giving you the wake times birth to a year, which is a really nice guide to, you know, screenshot, take a look at that so that you have it for reference, but also keeping in mind that we have to actually look at the time on the clock to spread those naps out, get more pressure, and get out of that short nap cycle. Okay, what do you have for number two?
Right. So, you know, kind of like what you just said, if the naps are too early, that's going to be a problem, right? So if the naps are happening, like you said, on a 3-nap schedule, if your desired wake time is 7, if we're doing it, you know, way before 9, that's going to be a problem because, like you said, we can't have like two naps before 11 or 12 or something like that. It's just, we have too much time at the end of the day, right? So like you said, wake windows, you know, towards the end of a wake window, I would expect your baby to be fussy. It's okay. If they're not fussy at all by the end of the wake window, then you either just have like a unicorn baby, awesome, or your baby is just not tired enough either. So it's completely normal for your baby to be kind of fussy towards the end of a wake window. And I would encourage you to just kind of push through, think outside the box. What I like to tell clients is, let's get them outside if you can, you know, maybe in your backyard or just even just open the screen door, front door. If you can do that, just get some air, that can help. If it's too cold or you're just not in a place where you can get outside, let's look out the window. Let's look out the door. Kids love doing that. Let's bring out some different toys or something maybe that they haven't seen recently. Change it up, different toys, different books. And then finally, let's remember that, you know, you can have a million toys in your house, but all the kids want to look at is, you know, Tupperware, keys, remote controls. Obviously with your, you know, assistance and you being there, I would never want your child to be handling household items without you. But, you know, I've totally taken out pots and pans and been like, let's look at this for the last 10, 15 minutes because it's what's going to get you through the wake window, right? So,
Get creative.
Yeah. People always will be like, well, I had to put him down, you know, 15 minutes earlier than what you suggested because he couldn't do it. He couldn't stay up. Well, okay. Maybe sometimes that's true. Maybe we need to alter the wake window. Maybe they really can't. But then when they take a short nap, maybe we could have, you know, pushed them, prolonged the nap a little bit, you know, always making sure that baby's not drowsy when going down or like going down to sleep. Then we know that obviously the wake window is incorrect. The baby should not be going down, you know, asleep. We're talking like 4 months and up here, you know, even 3 months we can practice, you know, obviously putting the baby down awake and everything like that. But if baby's going down drowsy or already asleep, then okay, let's talk about the wake windows and how maybe they're too long. But if the baby's fussy, guys, and you're putting the baby down early and then the baby's taking a short nap, well, there's your answer. And you may also be struggling with early morning wakings too, if this is happening. If you're putting your baby down for naps super early, then your naps are short, baby's tired towards the end of the day. If you're putting your baby down at like 6
early bedtime
for bed, then okay, they're waking up early, then you're just doing it over and over again. So it's going to take some time, some willpower on your end too. Not saying it's easy, but we get people out of the short nap early morning cycle all the time. So yeah, let's make sure we're not putting our babies down too early.
Hey, twin mom, we see you. When we say we get it, we really do. At Tweet Dreams, we are a team of sleep consultants who are also raising twins at home. Our twin sleep coaching packages are specifically tailored to your babies, making the journey of teaching independent sleep as stress-free as possible. Trust our years of experience working with twins so that you can feel relieved that the answers lie with us. Start by booking your free discovery call to learn more because we can't wait to meet you and help you with your sleep goals. You can find the link to book your call in the show notes.
And if you need to like buff, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 right. minutes, because if your desired wake time is 7, but we're having like a 6:15, 6:30 wake up, how long can we keep them in the crib just so they're sure. in that dark room? They're not, you know, in the sunlight yet. And then it's your job to be like, okay, the goal is 9. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to do 8:15 today. We're going to do 8:25. Okay. Right. And then next day we're going to do 8:45. And then that's just naturally going to help that gap close, push everything forward. So right, love that. Right. So like you said, segueing in here, naps are short because baby is falling asleep assisted. And what that means is baby was super drowsy, even asleep, rocked to sleep, transferred to the crib or the bassinet. They were fed to sleep, nursed to sleep. So when that happens, your child is going to naturally rouse
at the 30-minute mark, the 40-minute mark, when other babies also rouse, right? Even if they went down independently, we know this. Mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6, 7 months, they rouse at 30 minutes. But if they were put down assisted, they're going to be like, oh, hey, mom, like I was fell asleep when you were holding me. Where'd you go? Now I'm in the crib. I need you to rock me back to sleep. I need you to nurse me back to sleep, etc. Because baby didn't take full ownership of that process, wide awake, drowsy, sleepy sleep. So that's really, really common to see short naps, cat naps, when they're assisted, not going down independently. We're here to help you guys with that if that's something that you're struggling with or don't know how to take those first steps. So please reach out. But yeah, it just makes sense that we get a full arousal at the sleep cycle change, and then we're stuck in a cycle of cat naps, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about short naps because it's time to drop a nap. So nap transitions.
Oh, yeah. And this one, I've been working with the clients recently that are just like kind of almost there to drop a nap, but just like not quite there yet. And I feel for you guys, you know, that 3 to 2 nap transition, especially. So I find this happens a lot during the 3 to 2. I mean, sometimes 2 to 1 too, of course, but 3 to 2, super common when they're ready to drop a nap that their naps just overall become short, right? And that's because what I tell people all the time, as your child grows and ages, they're able to handle more wake time. Okay. It's natural. It's going to happen. It's good. But that also means that they probably need less sleep overall, and they need their sleep to be spread out more. So just if we're talking about like 3 to 2 nap 100%. Transition, what you usually see, typically speaking, is that third nap is either refused, you know, and the other two naps are just shorter overall. You know, maybe baby is just looking like they can handle more awake time. I was actually just talking to a mom last night, and I was like, do you think she can make it to X time, like 12:30, 12:45 for the second nap? And she's like, oh, for sure. Like she can for sure make it. And I'm like, okay, let's do that then. Like, you know, let's make sure that she's like, but I've just been putting her down at the old time because that's kind of what you told me to do 6 weeks ago. And I'm like, right. But she's 6 weeks older now. So we have to take that into account, right? And this baby that I'm talking about is not ready for dropping a nap yet. She still has room to manipulate that schedule. But, you know, in due time, like I told this mom last night, it's on the horizon. So she's going to be dropping a nap, you know, soon in the near future. And that's normal and to be expected. And she has room in her schedule for now. But, you know, when your child is within the range of a nap to drop a nap, so, you know, 3 to 2 would be anywhere from maybe 6.5 to 8 months. We usually drop to 2 naps, right? And then, so if you're in that range and you're seeing short naps, maybe your baby's ready to go down to 2 naps, probably. And then similar for 2 to 1, you know, if they're anywhere between 13 to maybe 17 months, usually it's a big range. I'd say the average is like 14, 15 months. If your baby's giving you 2 short naps, let's talk about how maybe they only need 1 long nap. So just keep that in mind, guys. If they're in the right age range to drop a nap and their naps are looking short, harder to get in, just not tired, staying awake during the nap, fussy, just tossing and turning, let's look at if they need to drop a nap.
Yep. And I'll just add one last thing. I love everything that you said, but shortening the night sleep is something I think we forget about or don't want to do. Like,
I know.
Oh, but I love my 7 to 7. I'm like, I love it too, girl. Love it too. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the 5-month-old that you talked to yesterday, she's not there yet, but like the 6-month-old that you're working with, like when you guys first started, he wasn't sleeping through the night. So yeah, we were working on 7 to 7 for sure. Now he's sleeping through the night. He's taking wonderful naps. So we have to understand that as we gear him up to do the transition, now he's going to bed at 7:30. Now he's going to bed at 7:45. This just keeps like everything welcome for a little bit longer so he can get older.
Right.
Right. Okay. I'm going to cover leaps and milestones because they all go through them. There is literally not much we can do about it. We talk about like regressions, brain leaps, etc. You're like, why are you doing this? Why are you taking a short nap? Why are you chronically waking up at 90 minutes if you're a toddler? Why are you chronically waking up at 35 minutes if you're a baby? And I remember going through this with my daughter. Everything was great. The schedule was perfect. Her sister was like oh yeah, I'm going to do this like a champ. And her other, and my other twin was like, nope, I'm just going to wake up at 30 minutes and give my mom like an anxiety attack. It's fine. And I'm like, why? And then eventually she just like stopped doing it. So sometimes there is no reason when you've gone through and checked everything off, like 1 to 4, our kids go through these rapid developments, talking, crawling, pulling up, whatever it is. So if your baby is an awesome self-settler and the schedule is right, short naps can happen. We just have some crib time. They're happy in there, not too fussy. Really lean into like that crib autonomy. Everything's going to be okay. Book a strategy call with us if this is something that you're like, I kind of like just want maybe some validation, because I've done a lot of that recently. Selena, I told you, like, I don't have a ton of tweaks for you. Like, this is just kind of like what he's doing right now. Everything's fine. It's going to be okay. Please just stay the course. Being a mom is hard. We got this kind of thing.
Keep doing what you're doing. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We can only control what we can control. I had a mom tell me recently, like, I cannot sleep for my children. I'm like, you're right. Mm-hmm. You can't. All you can do is set them up for success as best as you can. The rest is out of your control. And that's a very humbling experience in many regards as a parent. Right. So that was a really good perspective. And I was glad she shared that with me. Yeah. So, you know, in our coaching and things like that, like, naps are definitely a huge part of how we support. Nights can come together really fast most of the time. A lot of times we're working with families upwards of, you know, 2 weeks, even sometimes longer, really to nail down those naps, get you through a nap transition. And even at wrap up, we're talking about like, what are your next steps? What's that schedule looking like? Because like you said before, a 5-month-old 6 weeks later is a whole different baby, mm-hmm. needing more awake time, doing different things. And things are always changing so much in that first year. So if we can tackle the short naps, let's do that, because we need our breaks. Baby needs a restorative nap. So yeah, I hope this was helpful. We flew through it pretty fast, but very, very common issues that we see on Instagram, Facebook, people like searching our blog for it, clients, all of that. So
yep. Totally.
Okay. Well, short and sweet for short naps today. We will catch you guys next time. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave us a review if you like listening every week. We try to keep it like a mix of sleep and just parenting. I know some of you skip over the sleep topics, which is totally fine, because that means you have a good sleeper at home. So what's better than that, right?
So you do,
we'll be back next week. Yeah, we'll be back next week with a different topic. Okay. See you later. Bye.
If you liked this episode and conversation, be sure to leave a review or rating. Share it with a friend on social media or a family member. It's our goal to reach as many parents of multiples and singletons alike. You're not alone in your parenting journey. If you'd like to hear about a specific topic or have an episode idea, please feel free to message us. We're here to help.